chapter 1. And people hear the name of Job, they think, oh, it's going to be a difficult day. It's not going to be a difficult day. It's going to be a good day. I think Job is probably one of the most misunderstood people in the Bible. Job has a good story to tell. He has a very good story to tell. And we have some good things to learn from Job. Job chapter 1. And we read from verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. I always find that interesting. You know, he shows up where he's not supposed to show up. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." See, the Bible tells us that that's what he does. He walks around like a roaring lion. And he's looking for someone that he can devour. That's what he does. And that's what he came back from. He went around to see. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, if Satan could point a finger to God and accuse him of something, what would that be? Well, you bless your people. I don't like this thing that you bless your people. I don't like this thing that you bless your people, that you protect them, you build a hedge around them, and you increase them, and so on. And that day he came and he pointed that finger to God and he said, "But you blessed him." What God saw was an upright man, a righteous man. God saw the righteousness of Job, that he was upright and honest, that he feared God, and he honored God, and so on. What Satan saw was the blessing. He just saw the material side of it. And I believe God wants to brag on his children. God wants to point to Satan and say, "Well, have you seen that one?" He used to rob him or her, but just look at them now. Just look at them now. And that's what he did with Job. He said, "Have you considered this man Job?" Because he went back and forth on the earth and he was walking and looking for someone. And then God said, "Have you seen Job?" He said, "Yeah, I saw him." Make no mistake, he saw him. He obviously tried to do something about this blessing that was on Job. Because, you see, Satan can see where we cannot see. He's a spiritual being. And he saw in the spiritual that God made a hedge around Job. And he couldn't get close to him. He wanted to lay his hand on Job, but he couldn't. He couldn't. Because he saw something that Job couldn't see, but God knew and Satan knew. And that's something we need to learn this morning. That God puts a hedge around his people. He puts a hedge around you, and he increases you, and his blessing is upon you. There's one thing that the devil cannot stop coming from God to you, and that's God's blessing. Boy, he would love to do that. He would love to do that. And but he can't. He can't unless we give him the authority to do so. So we're going to find out this morning that looking into the spiritual, we better be careful what we say in the natural. Amen. And how we respond to things in the natural. Now, then he said, well, the only reason why he loves you is because you blessed him so much. That's all. And then Satan made a suggestion. And he said, why don't you touch him? Why don't you take away his stuff? Then we'll see. And he actually put God to the test. And poor Job was put to the test too. Now we need to understand something here at this point, that there comes a time when maybe the devil is going to look at your life and blame God, and God will say, okay, we'll see. Make sure you pass the test. Make sure you pass the test. Because God was richly rewarded, Job was richly rewarded when he passed that test. Because God blessed him so much more in the end than he was in the beginning. And he was rich. If you read the first verses of that chapter, you'll see that Job was greatly blessed. Now, when God talks about blessing, and the Bible speaks about blessing, it goes way beyond material blessing. He had a good family. There was peace amongst the family members. We see that they it looks to me like they spent their birthdays together, and had a big feast, and enjoyed the time, and invited everybody, and had a good family time together. When God speaks about blessing, it is an all-encompassing blessing. It is peace on the inside. It's the joy of the Lord that's not attached to possessions and circumstances. It is health. And yes, it includes material blessings and finances and so on. But Satan said to God, why don't you stretch out your hand and touch him? Take away some of those things and then we'll see. And for some reason, some people still think today that that is what God does. That God takes away. And then when calamity hit him and tragedy hit Job, he spoke in the beginning and he said, God gave and God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And somehow religion latched onto what Job spoke there in his ignorance and in his agony, and made that such a line that they try to comfort people with. Now, I want to tell you, I don't find any comfort in that line. I don't find any comfort in that line. I'm sorry, if you're comforted by that, that's fine. That is fine. But that's not the character of God. Because when he said, when he said to God, why don't you take away his stuff? God said, no, you do it. You do. He's in your hand. He's in your hand. And he had only limited access to Job. God said, you can take his possessions, but you leave him alone, his person. You don't touch his person. And so the devil came, and he did what he does best. He stripped him. He stripped him. He took his family away in a day. All his possessions in a day. And still Job held unto God, and he honored him. And he would refuse to say anything negative about God. He knew God. He knew the character of God. And he knew it could not be. You know, I cannot turn my back on God. And so Satan failed. And he said, well, why don't you touch his health? Why don't you touch his health? Let's see if you touch his health. Then he'll do it. And he came and God said, okay, you can touch his health, but you don't kill him. See, Satan has limited power. And that's something that we need to understand, that Satan cannot do what he wants to do. If he could do what he wanted to do, we would not have been here today. We would not have been here today. But look at this. Verse 11. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And that is exactly how he operates. That is exactly how the devil operates. He wanted to separate Job from God. How would he do that? By stealing his stuff, killing his family, and ruining his health. And that's how he comes to you and me. And look, when he sends someone to or something to rob you of your material possessions, he's not after your material possessions. He can do nothing with it. He's after your faith. He's after your relationship with God. That is what he's after. When he comes to steal a loved one through death, and don't let religion tell you, well, God needed a rose in his garden. Because that's not what the Bible says. That's what religion says. God gave us certain years to live because we have a purpose to fulfill. And we need those years to fulfill our purpose. And some people die prematurely, and we don't have all the answers. We have some answers. We don't have all the answers. But we know that God allotted some time to us because there's a purpose attached to our lives and to the years that we live, and we need to fulfill that purpose. That is what it is all about. And so he comes, and he steals loved ones from us because he thinks that through killing that person or taking that loved one, we will separate ourselves from God. That is what he is after. I see ourselves and people as trophies. Don't forget, God's wealth is not money. God's wealth is people. God's wealth is souls. It's people. It is not money. And it depends, the great prize in this battle between the devil and God is you and I. And we are the prize. We are the trophies. And we are going to stand either on God's mantelpiece or on the devil's. And we need to make sure that we make good choices. Because in the end, if we allow him to separate us from God, he wins the battle. He wins the trophy. He walks away with the prize. And I don't want to be his prize. And so let's be careful not to make it too easy for him to win us. Make it tough on him. Make it hard on him to win us over and to separate us from God. And that is what he does. And we know that when we read to the end of Job, that Job spoke again. And he said, in the beginning I spoke things that I did not understand. I spoke things that I did not understand. Things that were too high for me. I made some statements that I should not have made, because I did not understand. But now I know. And in the end, God returned those blessings, and he blessed him so many times over, more than he ever had in the beginning. That is God. That is God. God is in the business of blessing people. Remember, that's the first thing he put on us when he made us in his image, is to bless us. And that is what he wants us to be. He wants us to be blessed. Now I want us to go to another character, and go to the book of Numbers. Numbers 22. Numbers 22, and I think we all know the story, but I want to read from verse 1. Numbers 22. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. That's something we need to know. Sometimes we are scared of our enemy. Let me tell you something. He's scared of you. You must know that. Don't be scared of the enemy. Don't be scared of what he threatens you with. Don't be scared of what you see peering on the horizon. He's scared of you. Don't fear. Don't fear. Verse 4. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us As an ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak, and the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messages to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth, and we are settling, and they are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" So Balaam said to God, "Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent to me saying, 'Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out.'" And God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." You shall not curse them, for they are blessed. Now, isn't it interesting that this king, he wanted this prophet to curse God's people. And he said, "Because maybe after you curse them, I can go and defeat them." He first wanted them to hear the curse and put fear into their hearts, so that he can go after them and defeat them. And that's one of the principles of the devil. He uses fear. And the moment fear comes in, defeat is the next step. And when we allow fear to come in, into our lives, we know that defeat is coming. There will be defeat. If you allow fear to set in, then you are set up for a defeat. You know something is coming. Something is coming. The devil has seen me, and he's coming for me. Now, isn't it interesting that today, how the world operates on fear? As we came into town this morning, I saw the gas price, $1.02. And I think of what I saw on the ticker yesterday, that the reason why it is so high is because the stock markets fear that there will be a shortage because they don't have enough refining facilities. We don't have a shortage yet. They just fear there will be one. And now we pay the price for that. They drive up. And let me tell you, the oil producers are walking away with more profit than ever before because of fear. Now, that's exactly how fear works. You pay a price for that. You pay a price when you allow fear to set in. And that's what the enemy does. He shows you something. He sows a thought into your mind. He wants you to fear about something, because the next step is he's going to attack you. There's an attack coming, and he's sowing his threat into your life. And when you fear, that's the faith that will produce that defeat. And fear has no place in the life of a believer. Amen. Because faith is what we operate on. Faith in God, not faith in the devil. And when he blows himself up and makes himself big, and he comes with all kinds of threats and uses people to threaten us and issues and matters and circumstances, then he is planning to attack us. And when we allow that fear to set in, then you know that something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. You open the door for him to come in, and you bring a break in that hedge that God built around you. Don't you forget that when the enemy comes in, and he may walk up and down and pass you and look you over and check you out and so on, all you need to know is there's a hedge around me, and he can stand there watching. He won't be able to do a thing to me. He is unable because God put a hedge around me and He blesses me and He protects me and He keeps on increasing me. And don't you be ever feel guilty to be blessed, because that's what God wanted for us. Don't feel guilty about it. There's a reason why it's not for us to line our pockets so much. You know, we have a task to finance. We must take the gospel around the world. That's going to cost us a lot of money. And that's why the body of Christ must be blessed. Hollywood's not going to do that. I know that. The financial institutions of this world will not do that. You cannot go to the bank and say, please finance me, because I have to go to this nation or that nation, or I need to print a book or something to tell people about the good things of God. They're not interested in that. We will do that. And we will have to do it with the blessing that God puts upon our lives. And that is why it is not an option for us to be blessed. We must be blessed. We must be blessed. There's no such thing, really, when God gives you a commandment, an instruction to do something that you can turn around and say, God, well, I cannot do that because I don't have the money. Everything will cost you. And that is why, that's the big reason why we are to be blessed. And we better be blessed beyond the world's blessing, because they're working hard too. The devil is using them to separate people from God. And he uses all kinds of things to do so. And if we don't wake up and realize that he is stealing from us on a great scale, we will lose. We will lose. And I don't know if we should be ready for that. I think we should dig our heels in and say, no, I will be blessed. And I will do what God wants me to do. And I will make sure the devil stops stealing from us. Amen. And our children from our homes. And people from God's kingdom. 4 times that king sent him out to curse God's people. 4 times, and every time he stood up to speak, God put a blessing in his mouth and not a curse. Every time he put a blessing in. Look at chapter 23, verse 8. See, and these are principles that we need to understand. He says, how shall I curse whom God has not cursed? See, it makes no difference when people put curses on you and so on, because if God didn't curse you, there's nothing will happen. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? What's the use of it? If God is not in it, why bother? Why bother? I don't know if in this day and age if people still fear curses. I hope not. But I don't. I don't. I don't fear curses because I know I came to a place of understanding where I know that curses have no effect on me. I don't care who puts that curse on me. They have no effect on me because God has put his blessing on me. And he built a hedge around me, and therefore nothing will touch me. Verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse. I cannot reverse that blessing that God has put upon his people. I cannot reverse it. That blessing cannot be reversed unless you allow it to. Unless you allow it to. But if God put it there, God's not going to take that away. Unless we allow the devil to come and steal it from us, God's not going to take that blessing away from us. Now, we all know Abraham. And I want us to just quickly go again there again in Genesis chapter 12. Where God says in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. That means that no curse can come to you. No curse can come to you because we have inherited the blessing of Abraham, and no curse can come to us. Therefore, the blessing is upon us. Now, Kenneth Copeland said something the other day that I think we should receive. He said, it's not a question of trying to keep your healing or receive your healing, because the Bible declares you to be healthy. By His stripes you were healed, past tense, which means you are healthy today. He says it's more a question of the devil trying to steal your health, because you are healthy. Now, the same principle applies with other blessings. You are blessed because God blessed you. But the devil's trying to steal it from you, and you better watch out for that to make sure he doesn't. The only way he can get into your life in any way is by way of fear, by putting fear in you. Now, many things are happening in our day. It's the danger. The world's become a dangerous place to live. You know, if you read the newspapers and watch the news, just about every day there's a new scare. You cannot eat this because it gives you cancer. You cannot do that because it gives you cancer. And everything today will give you cancer. And they are so scared of the cancer. It's time for us to understand that we better get our faith in line with God and understand that there's a hedge around us and things will not come to us. We'll get back to that a little later on. And live the faith walk, the true faith walk, and not just talk out of your heads and say something that we don't even believe, because that's in your heart where things happen. And that's where fear comes in, or where faith lives. And fear and faith don't live in the same house. If you allow fear to come in, faith leaves. And if you allow faith to come in, fear must go. And don't allow it to come back. Now I want us to go to Psalm 91. And that's a psalm that just about everybody knows. And Moses wrote Psalm 91, not David. It's Moses that wrote that psalm. And what a lovely psalm that is. He talks about God's protection. And there's a secret place where we can live with God. There's a secret place where we meet with God and live with Him. And it's a spiritual place. It's not a geographical place. It's a place of fellowship with God. And that is what he's talking about. And I believe he wrote this psalm after he spent 40 days in the presence of God. He discovered some things. He saw God taking care of his people in the desert and defeating nation after nation after nation. Well, they were just a bunch of slaves, really. Didn't know much. All they knew was how to make bricks. They didn't know much. But God protected them. He fed them. He provided for them. And he was always there with them. And Moses discovered something about God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. And if you say that of God, you cannot fear the enemy. If you say, I will trust in Him, He's my fortress. I will trust in Him. Nothing can touch me. Nothing can touch me. Not just because it's a wishful thinking, but because I'm dwelling in a secret place. Because I know there's a hedge around me. I know that hedge is there. I know. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. See, all these things happened back then, and they still happen today, but you should not be afraid of it. Don't you fear. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. So when you see things happen to people all around you, don't open up in fear. Don't you be scared. Don't you be scared when they say the economy is going to get difficult, interest rates are going up, and the unemployment rate is going up, and so on. That's not a sign for you to fear. That is not a sign for you to fear. That you should not even be moved by that. All you keep on saying, there's a hedge around me. There's a hedge around me, and if 1,000 fall on my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it shall not come to me, because God will take care of me. Because we're not moved by what happens to people around us. We are moved by what I receive from God. Verse 8, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. Not some of your ways, to all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, that's God speaking now, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. There's a place that we need to understand that is above the natural world that we live in. And that there are some things that God wants to do for us, if we just choose to live with him in that secret place. Like we can live above this natural world that we're in. That there are blessings that cannot be taken away from us. There are some things that cannot come to us because we live in the shadow of the Almighty. You cannot turn the back on your provider. You cannot turn your back on your healer. You cannot walk away from your protector. And as long as you stay with him in that secret place, there will be protection, there will be provision, there will be deliverance, and you will be free. Jesus came to make us free. And that is what we should be a free people. Now we know that Jesus speaks in the New Testament about his mission in John chapter 10. And he explains this whole thing that happened to Job in the New Testament. Look at let's go to verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That means he's living a life of provision. He is provided for. He will find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. What happened to Job? Exactly that. Exactly that. He went to Job's life and he killed his children. He destroyed everything he had, even his health. And he stole from him and he stripped him and left him with just his life. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That they may have it more abundantly. So, you know, if that is why Jesus came, to give us the more abundant life, then I think we can be pretty confident that that is what he wants to do for us. To give us that life of greater abundance. Now, I don't want to go into what abundance, the abundant life is. I think we all have a good understanding of what the abundant life is. When Jesus speaks about the abundant life, and religious people like to turn this only into spiritual things. And there's a lot of spiritual things, blessings that come, spiritual blessings that come. But there are many things that God blesses His people with that turn into spiritual blessings in the end. You know, we spoke about Joy that invested some money into training this lady in Nigeria. You know, there's a lot of spiritual blessings coming because someone was blessed financially. Because someone had the financial means to sow into someone else to reap some spiritual things. And I believe many, many people will be blessed. And we have contact with that woman, and we know what a blessing she is. Spiritually. She sent me an email the other day and said, they asked me to preach for the first time. And I went and I spoke. And it was amazing how God healed some people. And we should be a little careful to try to separate these things from one another, spiritual and material blessings, because in the end, they're all the same thing. In the end, they all have the same purpose. And you cannot be blessed spiritually and think, that's all I need, that's all I have, and that's all I ever will have, and not have something rub off in the natural. It's not going to cost God anything more to bless you in material things than bless you with spiritual things. And in the end, it's not about us and what the stuff that we have. And I know we live in a material world, and people always think, you know, I need to have the biggest house and the best car and the I don't know what else. That's not what God has in mind. What God has in mind is a people that are sold out to Him, that will invest in the gospel and will send the gospel around the globe, because He is looking for souls to be saved. Amen. And we have to get out of this thinking mode that, oh, God will do it. God will do it. Well, the news is God uses people. God uses people. And if you don't have the means to do it, then you cannot do it. You can have all the knowledge that can save all of Africa. But if you don't have the wherewithal to take it there, then they won't receive anything at all. And that's why you have to be blessed. That's why you have to be blessed. And be careful, because some people think, I'll just keep it. I'll just keep it and just show everybody, you know, live with God and just look at all the blessings. And God looks down from heaven and He says, you fool. You're a fool. There's a lot of rich fools in the world that we live in. And some of them sitting in the churches. They're rich fools. They discovered how to be blessed, but they forgot why they have to be blessed. And they rob themselves of fulfilling their life's purpose. And so this morning, I'm going to tell you, I think it's time for us to become sober about this one thing. God wants you to understand that blessing is part of your walk with Him. Amen. It's part of your purpose. It's part of the tools that you need to fulfill your purpose. And if you are not blessed, you're going to focus on yourself. Let me tell you something. If you have lack in your life, you are going to be so obsessed with that lack that you won't be able to do anything else. You're going to focus on that problem. You're going to focus on that need. And you won't be able to bless anybody, even if you have all the knowledge. You won't be able to help anybody at all. God wants you to have peace. And peace means to be whole. And not lacking anything. And not coming short of anything. And which enables you to be a blessing. Now remember, we always say the lowest form of Christianity is to be blessed. The highest form is to be a blessing. And that's what we're aiming for, to be a blessing. And that's what the devil doesn't want you to be. He doesn't want you to be a blessing. He wants to steal and rob from us and stop us from being a blessing. Oh, and I tell you, it gets into the minds of people. He gets hold of the thinking. And he plays that religious tune in their heads, and he makes them think, well, you know, you don't have to. You're making ends meet. You're fine. You're fine. Your bills are paid and so on. Life is much more than that. Life goes much further than just having your bills paid and your needs met, because your life is supposed to produce something to show that you were here. And that's what we should be after. Produce something that you can leave behind. Amen. To show that you were here and somebody was impacted and somebody was changed and somebody got something that they can take into their generation and down the line and increase the good news that God put into our hearts. It's not about us so much as it is about reaching a world that is desperate and without hope. As I was praying in my office this morning, I was reminded of a pastor's wife that has a terminal illness. And I know how they sometimes think. I don't know the people very well, but I want to tell you, in my heart, I just felt, Lord, just give her some hope. Because without hope, what can you do? Without hope, if we cannot walk over to someone and say, listen, God can do something for you and put some hope inside of them, how can we help them? And that's why we need to be a blessing. We need to be a blessing. And that should be the dream of every believer, every follower of Jesus. So we sit down and think, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a blessing to my neighborhood? How can I be a blessing to my family? How can I be a blessing to those who work with me? How can I be a blessing to those that I don't even know, that live far from here? How can I be a blessing to them? And stop the devil from stealing from you. Stop that devil from robbing from you, so that your focus will always be turned on yourself. Stop that devil and begin to understand that God made a hedge around you. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. And become aware of the hedge. Become aware of the angel of the Lord that encamps all around you. And put your faith into that. And turn your eyes away from the natural and from the enemy and from the stealing and the bad news and the threats. And begin to receive something from God that will increase your hope and strengthen your faith. And begin to fight this fight and be an overcomer. Make a decision. Make a decision this morning. Make a decision not to be moved by what you see or hear in the natural, but be moved by what God has done for you and still wants to do. Amen. And get on with that. Amen. Now, you may not think about it. You may not think this way even. But there is no greater joy. There is no greater fulfillment than doing what God made you to do. You may be distracted to some other things and think that's where the fun is and that's where the joy is. And I want to tell you, that's deception. That is deception. You cannot be fulfilled. We were talking with some pastors this week and I said, success is doing the will of God. We know that, but I tell you, that's a revelation to some. And it should be a new revelation to all of us. Success is doing the will of God. Doing what God made you to do. That's success. And you'll need all the blessing you can get your hands on to do that. Let's focus on that one thing. Be the blessing that God intended for you to be. Be that blessing. Be that blessing. Blessing. And stop the enemy from coming in and interfering with your life. I tell you, sometimes I think, how low must we go before we will finally open our eyes and say, okay, we've gone far enough now, it doesn't work, I'm going to draw that line and bring an end to this nonsense. And finally, walk towards that goal that God has put in front of me and make that happen. We waste a lot of time. I wasted a lot of time. And sometimes, you know, we're so busy, we still waste some time. But time is running out. Time is running out, and God's people must wake up and understand what life is all about. We need to understand that there's purpose in all of this. And let's get on with that and keep the devil outside. Keep the devil outside. He's a thief, he's a robber, he's a murderer, and you don't need him inside of that hedge. He stays outside that fence. That's where his place is. And he can walk up and down and up and down and all through the world and look whom he may devour and walk right past you. Don't you stop for a moment to pay any attention to him. We have no dealings with him. May God help us to become so focused and so obsessed with turning our lives into that to which God created us to be. Understand, the devil cannot stop you. The enemy cannot stop you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Only you can. Only you can. By allowing him in, you can. By keep on playing with him. But if you put him outside, he's out of business in your life, at least. The day we live in is far too serious for us to keep on being religious. It's time for us to realize some things need to happen. Some things need to change, and quickly. Some things need to get in line. You know, what I keep on wanting to say is, get out of things that are in the general and be specific about some things. Because we live in the general, you know. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. It's not about being a Christian. It's about fulfilling your God-given purpose. It's about coming into that relationship with God and let him pour his being out in you so that you can become all that he made you to be. And that is possible. God made every one of us for a reason, and he equipped us well. You are well equipped. Let me tell you today, this is the revelation for the day. You are well equipped. And God put a hedge around you, and your household, and your health, and your family, and he increases you. And then he put a hedge around all of that, so that you can be what God made you to be. Let's keep those things inside that fence. Keep the devil out. Keep the devil out of your household. Keep him out of your family. Keep him out of your marriage. Keep him out of your children. I cannot tell you what it does to me when I see our children one by one filtering into the world, and they're lost. It's sickening. It is sickening that we would allow our children to be stolen from us. And we need to fight. We need to fight. We need to get in that secret place and have an encounter with the living God and sort out some things, because the devourer is waiting. He's looking at us. And if you give him the slightest chance, he'll come right in. And that we cannot allow. But the good news is, he cannot touch you. He cannot touch you, because you are protected by the presence of God, you're protected. Let's never drop our protection. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that your good news is for everyday living. Your good news is for day-to-day life of ordinary people. To be a real protection and a truth that sets us free from day to day. Lord, I pray that we will not be religious, but that we will practically understand what it is to dwell in that secret place with you. With your hedge around us when nothing can touch us. Even when we see victims fall all around us, we will still be safe because of you. Father, I pray that today we will receive strong revelation. I pray, Lord, that we will listen with our spiritual ears today, that we will see with our spiritual eyes. And I pray that we will come to that place today to make a final decision. That life up to now was disappointing. Life up to now did not produce the goodies that we were trying to get our hands on. There must be a better way. There must be a better way. And that way is your way, Lord. And we will draw that line today and walk back to you. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that's upon your people. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that when we get to know you, we know a good father who knows how to take care of his own. And thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, we honor you. We thank you for him became the door so that we may find pasture and receive life and that more abundantly and live that life to your glory. Amen.